and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 10. I am your host for this week, Neil Ronahan. And with me, as always, is the whole Newscast crew. We got Zach Miller, straight out of Alaska.
Right out of Alaska, right out of a new job.
Oh! And we got Andy Gergen, who's over in, how the hell do you pronounce Des Moines?
That's right. I tend to say Des Moines just because it pisses people in Des Moines off. But yeah,
that's one of those things where, like, I don't think I've never had to know how to pronounce it. I've just had to read it, so.
Yeah, well.
But
it's
anyway,
it's a lifetime skill.
But, so what we're gonna do first is a little segment that we call What You Reviewin'. And that's once again with an apostrophe at the end, not a G, because that's how we roll. But, because we're in January, and while this is second Christmas on every other console, it's not really so much for Wii and DS. We only got one game that someone's reviewing, and that someone is me, and that game is Tatsunoko vs. Capcom Ultimate All-Stars, which I'll just start off by saying it is really, really good. I pretty much got the review copy right. I got it while I was at the event, the launch event that was at Nintendo World Store on last Saturday. And, because there was a little mix-up where it actually got sent to my house instead of to Lauren's house, who, just a quick backstory, I go to school about an hour and a half from my house, and Lauren commutes to school and lives about 20 minutes away from my school. So when I'm at school, stuff gets mailed to her for review copies. When I'm not, then,
sense.
You know, stuff gets mailed at home. But it got mailed home, so I had a friend of mine pick it up, and he met me at the event. So I had the game in hand while I was at the event, which was a pretty good event by Nintendo World Store standards. They had producer Ryoto Nitsuma. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm trying hard to get my Japanese pronunciation decent. But he was on hand. They had a couple other people. Seth Killian from the Capcom Unity blog was there.
How was how are the crowds at a game like this? I'm curious.
It was really mobbed. And I know
really?
I was talking to the translator because I did an interview with Nitsuma-san, but he obviously speaks Japanese. So basically, I was having an interview using a translator who's he's from Capcom Japan. Really good guy. He's thanked. I think Miguel Corti. I was talking to him, and he said, like, we've been to, like, industry events before, and we never saw a crowd this big for this kind of game. The only taste they ever had of that before was at Comic-Con last year when they did something for Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. But it was probably, I think the only other event I've seen at Nintendo World Store that's been more crowded, and I've been to a handful, have probably been the Mario releases. I was at a midnight launch for Super Mario Galaxy and the one for New Super Mario Bros. Wii. I mean, they had, like, a Skrillex one, the Muramasa one. There were a bunch of others, too, but I can't think of them offhand. But it was a really cool event, though. They had Nitsuma-san signed a bunch of posters for hours. I think 4 hours was what they said.
Jeez.
Very nice.
And the store was mobbed. Definitely, I mean, it's not really my scene, necessarily, because I'm kind of a softcore 2D fighting fan, not a hardcore one.
Me too.
They were having competitions, like a combo competition, a beat the pro competition, they were giving away copies of the game if you won those. But it was a really cool event.
Excellent.
But on to the actual game now. It's basically for me as a softcore fighting fan, it is the most brawl-like you will ever see a Capcom fighting game be. As in, you know, you got ridiculous moves. I actually was calling the best hyper combo moves. I referred to them as Final Smashes when I was playing this with my friends over the weekend, because that's what they are. It's because you pull them off and it's this ridiculous attack that, you know, pretty much just Fs the other dude up. And
nice.
The one thing that I have to point out, though, is that they have two different control styles for this game. No, there's more. You can use, you know, GameCube controller. You can use a stick. You can use classic controller, Wii Remote, Nunchuck. And the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck and the Wii Remote by itself, they basically turn the game into Brawl. As in, they make it, instead of having the three attack buttons and you have to do, you know, a combination of, you know, like the quarter circle and all that jazz that are typical in Capcom fighting games, which you can do all that on the classic controller or the stick or what have you. On the Wii Remote or the Wii Remote Nunchuck, it basically makes it into Brawl, in which you have one button that, you know, you press to do attacks, and you can basically to do, like, regular melee attacks. And that's basically, you know, you can vary that by depending on what direction you're pointing in. And the same thing with the B button, which is basically special attacks. And once again, like Smash Brothers, you can, you know, you have a forward B, a backward B, an upward B, a downward B, all that
wow.
stuff. And you execute special attack. You execute the hyper combos by just pressing A and B together, which is, I mean, it's just really easy to use, especially if you're not that much into fighting games. Which I really
great.
Hope that this game
doesn't
breaks
it
through.
Man, oh, man, my hatred for Neo continues to rise.
My goal is to sell you on this game tonight, Zach.
I think you already did, sir. I think Extraction is worth giving up for this.
But, I mean, it also, I mean, not the regular game's all there. It's probably, it's most likely a little simplified for someone that's probably all into Street Fighter 4. Because it's a very cartoony, over-the-top game, and I think it's meant to be a little crazier, not as much as, like, you know, the strict competition game. Just have it be a little more, I think it's, you know, there's some cheap characters in there that are a little too good and stuff like that. But it's kind of part of the charm.
As is in any Capcom fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, that sounds pretty cool. Like, I don't really know much about this game because I just didn't follow the pre-release hype about it at all because I had no idea who Tatsunoko was until I joined staff, I guess. but yeah, you know, I think you may have sold me on it too. I may have to pick this up.
But because I mean, I was definitely the same way when I first heard it get announced. Everyone was all, "Oh, it's a versus game on the Wii." I was like, "Who the hell is Tatsunoko? Why can't it be Marvel? I know those people."
Yeah, yeah.
But. And it is the kind of thing where it's actually, whenever I explain who the hell Tatsunoko is to people, I use Speed Racer and Samurai Pizza Cats, and they're like, "Oh, are they in the game?" I'm like, "No." there are a couple characters in there. And
here's the thing.
The characters are interesting enough in that game, although it seems like half of them are just like, it's like a teenage boy who found a power suit and transforms into a robot.
Nice. That's
half the Tatsunoko characters. But, I mean, like, you might remember some of them. There's, like, the Gatchaman, the science team ninja or whatever that's, like, Ken the Eagle, Jin the Swan, Joe the Condor.
Right.
There's a couple other ones that will definitely look familiar if, you know, you grew up recently because they brought a couple of them over to North America. But, yeah, I mean, the characters are all interesting enough. They're all pretty varied. There's 26. You start with, I think, 21, so there's 5 unlockables, which is probably my main critique of the game, is that the way to unlock everything is basically just to beat the game over and over again.
Like Soul Calibur.
And although if you don't know what the final boss is, it's a pretty cool reveal if you're into Clover Studio games. I've played through the game probably 12 times now to try to unlock everybody, and I still am missing one character that I think I need to beat it twice more with 2 different characters.
Wow.
Or maybe only once more, and then I'll unlock the final character. And it's not that that's bad, but, I mean, it gets repetitive.
How's the online?
The online is something that I haven't tested yet, and it's pretty much the last thing that I have to do before I write the review, and I'll be doing that tomorrow.
Well, I'll do it with you if I manage to get the game tomorrow.
Oh, we might have to plan this out.
Indeed.
Awesome.
But really, I mean, barring the online, which the online, in my opinion, can't really detract that much.
It can't be worse than Brawl.
Yeah. And from what I've heard from the buzzes right now is that the online's pretty damn good. And it looks like how they have it set up is that you can have friend codes. And I think also if you play someone online, you can make them your rival, which is different from a friend code. I don't know exactly how so, but I will explain that in my review, which I'm probably going to start writing tonight and then finish off when I finish the online. So it should be up maybe either when this goes up or shortly after.
All right.
I look forward to it.
And we also got some news stories for you, as no one else is reviewing anything. So it's just that time of the year. I don't know. What else are you guys – do you guys have anything on the slate coming up? I don't even know what's coming out necessarily.
I have some lesser hyped titles coming up in the next couple of months. So like a couple of like Sushi Go Round and City Builder, a couple of smaller games. And then I'm on the lineup for Lego Harry Potter in March, which I'm actually kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, no, I mean the Lego games, my thing is that like I reviewed Lego Batman for the site and it's really cool, but it's just the same crap over and over again.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
supposedly
yeah.
With Lego Harry Potter, they're improving on it. So, you know, that might be one that I might pick up sometime down the line.
I think I got the Pokemon remake, at least one of them coming my way.
Yeah, and I then think if we get both of them, I might try to hop on it with you. Because,
that'd be awesome.
I'm yearning for some Pokemon.
And then I think Dementium 2 comes out in February, and I should be getting that.
Nah, that got delayed.
Well, damn it.
Let's start off the news stories by starting off with that. Dementium 2 actually got delayed until April.
Ouch.
I think there was a production issue, but that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
But moving on to the bigger stories that we have planned. First up is multiple third parties comment on third party sales. We had something from Climax, Hudson, Ubisoft, Sega, pretty much Capcom. Everyone hopped in on this one. So, what do you guys think about this?
Well, the gist of the news stories basically is publisher developer put out fairly mature. I guess I hate using that word, but fairly, you know,
adult,
mature, hardcore gamer skewed title in the hopes that that particular audience is starving for content and will rush to the stores en masse and buy their game by the millions.
Right.
As we found out over the past 12 months, it's not really happening. We've had you've had Dead Space Extraction. We've had House of the Dead Overkill. We have had
Mad World.
The Conduit.
The Conduit, which I know has been a pretty ridiculous disappointment, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know they had the guy from Sega. I think we may have talked about this on a previous episode. But the guy from Sega was on Four Guys One Up, the One Up podcast.
And, right.
He made a comment about how Sega's pretty much done with those kind of games.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe we'll see a Conduit 2. I think he hinted at that.
But didn't Sega come out and retract that statement? One of the publishers came out and retracted the statement. That
was Capcom.
I'm thinking of Capcom. All right.
Well, doesn't that Mad World guy want to make a sequel to Mad World?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, director wants to make sequel. I mean, it's the same thing with the Boy in This Blob story, except for I would love for that to happen.
Yeah,
Mad World too. I'm still going through that.
Make Bayonetta 2. Make the sequel to a good game.
Yeah.
Which I guess is me being a hypocritical asshole because I gave the game a 9 when it came out. But I definitely stand by the fact that the first time you play Mad World, it's really cool. It's just that it's really short and it doesn't hold up to any kind of replayability.
Yeah. So basically the developers and publishers are thinking, there's no market for this. If there's no market for this, we're going to stop making them. And, of course, the fan base is crying out, of course there's no market for it. You're making incredibly niche titles. You're turning popular genres into on-rail shooters and then scratching your heads when they don't sell. So it's kind of a circular argument. You know, developer makes game doesn't sell. Fan tells developer, well, that's not the game we wanted in the first place. And it kind of just goes on and on and on.
You know, what could be happening, though, is that, you know, Dead Space Extraction sold really poorly, but all the people who wanted Dead Space Extraction probably got it.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Maybe nobody else wanted that game.
Yep. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of Dead Space Extraction. I think
me too.
A good game. And I think, actually, there's a quote in one of the stories from the director of Silent Hill's Shattered Memories. And he says, without bad-mouthing people, a lot of the games they've been complaining about are rail shooters. And a rail shooter wouldn't have sold no matter what platform you put it on, because it's a rail shooter, and that's a niche genre that had its heyday back in the Dreamcast era. To be honest, making a game that sells on any platform is hard, and there are countless examples of great games on huge budgets that haven't sold, and games that have been runaway hits that no one saw coming. And I think making a sweeping statement about the Wii is maybe a bit of a cop-out. Like, Mark Simmons, bravo.
That's about the
you
best
the
thing anyone said from the development standpoint on this issue, I think. It's not a matter of the fact that it's on the Wii. It's a matter of the fact that these games are not – they're not catering to a large audience, let alone a large audience on the Wii.
They're certainly not in demand.
No, definitely not. But yeah, I think, you know, and I'm really glad to hear that from I can't think of his name. You said it a minute ago.
Mark Simmons
from Climax, because Climax put out a game that, by all accounts, is probably my favorite third-party game on the Wii in the past 12 months. And, you know, it looks like they went out of their way to make a game in a known brand that was very good and had a fair amount of mass market appeal. And I really hope that attitude pays off for them in sales. It should. It needs to, in my opinion.
I definitely – I mean, after that quote, and I know I said this last show that I would go out and buy it, but I ended up being swayed by Bayonetta. And I have to buy this
game. How did that happen?
well, the case of with buying Bayonetta is that I happened to be out with a couple of my friends and Lauren, and Lauren saw the trailer for Bayonetta, and she played it at an event a while ago, and we both really enjoyed it. She's like, oh, that's out? And I'm like, yeah. Do you want to get it? And she's like, okay. So then we did, and then we played it, and it's really good. Nice. Bayonetta's ridiculously good. But anyway, we also have a forum quote. It says Brooders, but
Brood
I'm pretty
Wars.
Sure it's Brood Wars.
Yeah, Brood Wars,
I guess
yes.
Brooders does work. But gee, Capcom, what did you expect? You pretty much ignored the Wii as a platform for releasing AAA games on for 2 years, so you're surprised when 2 years later you have trouble selling traditional games on the thing? As much as I love Darkside Chronicles, it's a rail shooter, and not the Resident Evil game I wanted on the system after RE4 Wii. I didn't get my Wii to play rail shooters, nor crappy ports of games that came out years ago on other systems, aka Dead Rising, nor overpriced ports of games that came out years ago that I can still play on the system, Rehash and Rehash Zero.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, those... Resident Evil Chronicles titles are really just rubbing the salt in the wound.
Well, it's really, as we were saying, it's a niche genre.
Yeah.
And I can buy that game for $5 used on the GameCube and still play it on my Wii.
Yeah.
And you use the same controls.
That's right.
But, I mean, I feel like we're beating a dead horse with that a little bit, so let's move on to something good that Capcom's doing instead of bitching about this. And they announced Rockman Zero Collection, which for DS, and it's the Mega Man Zero games on Game Boy Advance, and they're coming out in a collection.
How many of these games were there?
Four.
Four?
Four, yep.
I think I tried playing the first one and found it to be, you know, frustratingly hard.
Yeah,
as these games tend to be.
I've never played a Mega Man Zero game, but as some, you know, I was on the forums on this news story. I've beaten all the Mega Man original games and X games except 7 and 8, because I've never played those two. And I said, you know, in terms of difficulty, how did the Zero games stack up? And everyone was like, they're much harder. So maybe
that's
not.
What I thought.
It's pretty much, it's a regular Mega Man game. It's just you know, a different one.
Masochistic.
Well, I played the first little bit of Mega Man Zero, and I was surprised at how much variation there was in terms of the structure of the game. I guess like it has like a hub instead of having like a menu select screen. There is like a hub world, like a hub base. There was a lot more going on in terms of the structure of the game in the first Mega Man Zero that I played. And I don't know how far that goes or if it's really just masking, you know, the same old thing but with a slightly better presentation. I don't really know because I didn't play that far. But at least it was a little bit different. And this is something that I could definitely see myself picking up.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about it just because I haven't played any of those games.
Yeah. We have a quote from Dasmos from the forums. Says the Mega Man Z games were easily his favorite and most played on his Game Boy Advance, but he hasn't played them since he sold his GBA, and he says he will definitely pick it up if it's released outside Japan. And
why would
I
you sell your
that.
GBA?
I sold my GBA.
Oh man,
I still have my launch GBA.
I sell everything.
I didn't actually upgrade.
I have no loyalty to hardware.
I'm too much. I'm a collector at heart, although that side of me is pretty much quelled at this point.
Hey, I used to be too.
I've been going on a pretty big Mega Man kick, so this is the kind of game I definitely look into picking up. I actually got a Mega Man X collection for GameCube about like
That's
2 weeks ago.
That's a great collection.
I've really great only collection. Played the first one though, mainly due to time. But
5 and 6 are so brutally hard.
Not
man.
Looking forward to that. Anyway, New Super Mario Bros. Wii is selling a crap ton.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is.
I believe they are up to 10 million sold worldwide, according to the NPD group.
10 million units.
It's passed the lifetime sales of Super Mario Galaxy, and it's only done that after 45 days on the market.
That's shocking. That's incredible.
Yeah, 4.2 million. 4.2 million in North America.
Maybe you guys have a better idea about this than I do because I don't have the numbers in my head right now. But how does that stack up to the NES Mario games?
I'm not sure.
Me neither.
There
wasn't as much of a market back then, for sure.
Yeah.
I know Mario 3 sold like to everyone and to everyone's mother back in the early 90s, late 80s, I forget. I'm kind of curious to see, like, how this is stacking up to some of the best-selling Mario games of all time.
Yeah.
It seems to me like it's primed to be one of them before too much longer.
I think Mario 3, out of all those NES and SNES games, Mario 3 was the best-selling one. And then Mario
I think the original Super Mario Brothers may have been the best-selling one.
It wasn't because the audience wasn't there yet.
Yeah, but then the audience was there.
I suppose
that's the thing. It often came with the system.
It came with the system a lot of
the
time.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the Wii Sports inflation. And
right. So I think in terms of pure units, I think it's Mario 3.
Well, Just from what I'm finding, it looks like Super Mario Brothers might be somewhere around 40 million.
Okay.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And Super Mario Brothers 3 looks like it's around like 20.
Really?
I'm
wow.
Not
that's
sure.
Surprising.
Does that include remakes and re-releases
I'm not
or just
sure.
original?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, you know, this game's been out for what? A month? 2 months? If that. In Japan, like, I think 5 weeks I read, 5 or 6 weeks. This game has the potential, probably, if it keeps up its current pace, if it's still appearing on NPD
right.
charts in 2012, like Mario Kart DS seems to be doing,
right.
This game has the potential to be the single best-selling Mario title that we've seen today, and that's kind of surprising and impressive.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, it's a really good game, and I think it's the kind of one whereas, I mean, in all honesty, I think that Super Mario Galaxy and the 3D Marios don't really have that kind of, like, that cachet, that ease to get into.
Sure.
I mean, they're great games, but I think they're a little more gamers' games, while New Super Mario Bros. Wii is kind of an everyone's game.
Yeah, that's the side-scrolling Mario games have nostalgia to them, and it's the first new one on a console since Mario World, so, uh-huh. I mean, That's impressive. That's something.
It is.
That's people that grew up playing these games. You know, they see it and they think, "Hey, I know how to do that." Like, there's no wondering if they know how to do it. They just know they know how to do it.
You know, it's sad though. Like 2 months after its release, I'm kind of done with it because I found all the star coins.
I haven't gone back and done all the star coins. It's the kind of thing like with Super Mario Galaxy. I got both of those games actually at launch events at Nintendo World Store, and I basically spent a week playing the crap out of the game to the point where I was like, I'm kind of done with this for a while.
Didn't you play Mario Galaxy all the way through in 24 hours or something?
No. That was not me. I did play a lot of it, though. It was about a week. It came out the week before Rock Band, and I was really excited for Rock Band. And I basically was like, I don't really plan on beating it, but maybe I will. And then, like, I just ended up having a lot of free time that week, and I just kind of plowed through it. I didn't get all 120 stars, though, and that's the same thing with New Super Mario Bros. Wii, is that I haven't gotten all the star coins yet, but I went back to it, like, almost a year later in New Super Mario Galaxy and got all 120.
I'm still going through my initial playthrough of Mario Wii. I got it for Christmas, and I really haven't even put that much time into it. I've been
I had so much fun with that game. Actually, I played it a lot over break.
Not even to the fourth world yet. And what I'm finding is that this game is harder than I expected. And I put it in, and I expect to be like having a nice, relaxed playtime.
Play with multiple people. It's a lot more fun and a lot.
It's a whole different game with multiple people.
Yeah,
there's two different games in there, and after you play it with multiple people, you go back being by yourself, and you'll be sad. It's all alone.
It's also I don't want to say it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to get the star coins by yourself.
Yeah, this I've definitely found. There's been two or three that I look at them and I'm like, "There's no way."
I'm
sure there is.
My friend and I would be playing through that, and to get a star coin, sometimes we just have like the one person would jump, but basically bounce off the other one and get up and go.
Yeah.
But we got another story for you all, and that's Bit Trip Runner details revealed. On Nintendo Life, Cajun Games' Alex Noisy revealed the first details of the game, which is the fourth in the series. I believe there's going to be six. It was teased in the credits of Bit Trip Void, the third game, which came out in November. And this time we're going into the world of rhythm platforming, kind of in the vein of Vib Ribbon, which is an old PlayStation game. And this is definitely something really new for the series, and you actually control the main character, Commander Video, for the first time. Don't really know exactly how it's going to play outside of that, but, I mean, it looks like it's, I'm very excited for this. It looks like they're kind of taking the series in a new direction. It's not going to have the customary three stages. It's going to have over 50.
Wow.
And Meat Boy actually might be making an appearance in this. And also the music is, the music is going to be provided by, the New York based chipmunk band Onomatoguchi, which I might actually be seeing live with a friend of mine in like March. So that's pretty cool.
You know, I own BitTrip Void and BitTrip Beat, but really I haven't put that much time into BitTrip Void yet. So really I haven't played any of them extensively since BitTrip Beat, and I think this is be the first one that I pick up and play a lot right away since then.
I mean, I really like the series, but it just kind of, they're still really hard for me. Beat, I got to the third level. Core, I think I got to the third. I think I've gotten to the third, but I haven't beaten the third. And Void, I've only gotten through the first.
Here's what I don't understand about Void, and I haven't played it hardly at all. I mean, I own it, but I've barely put time into it. Why doesn't it use the pointer to move? Why does it have to use the nunchuck? That seems weird to me.
I don't know. In all honesty, I think that would be more of an issue. I'd much rather just use the analog stick to control it.
It felt weird to me. I was expecting to use the pointer when I heard what kind of game it was, like, because I played a Flash game on the web that's very similar to the idea. You know, collect one type of thing while avoiding the other type of thing. Yeah. And it worked really well with the mouse.
The co-op in Void was really cool, too.
I need to try it out. I need to play more put more time into that.
Yeah. But we have a quote from the forums from Fatty the Hutt. And he says, wow, looks like a big step up from previous BitTrip entries. I have Beat, which is great, but very hard, and I've been meaning to pick up Void. I think I'll pass on Core. This one looks very different and, in a way, expanded. I wonder if the price will go up. I don't know if it'll go up. I imagine it'll probably be a $10 game, but we'll see. I mean, I know that Gaijin Games, they're really good people, and they love their fans, and their fans have been good to them, so maybe we'll be seeing this game come out at 600 points.
Maybe we'll hear all about it from Johnny on RFN.
Maybe.
Awesome.
So we got our news in brief, which this is kind of a new thing in that basically things that aren't worth talking about too much, but definitely worth mentioning. And first up with that, we got Pokemon pre-order bonuses. Are you guys excited for this? How excited are you?
I'm so excited that I hope it comes with a review copy. I'm sure it will not, but I hope it does, because I collect the Pokemon Spinners. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those.
No, I have not.
Okay, they're Pokemon figures. You know those spinner games where you have a figure on a little disc, and you spin them to do stuff?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but all right.
You don't spend enough time in comic shops. Well, that's what you do. You spin this figure, and on the dial are different attacks, and it's kind of
like Heroclix?
Yeah, like Heroclix.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Except it's a very simplified.
I don't spend enough
Heroclix.
Time in comic shops.
Yeah, I don't anymore. I used to spend more time, but not anymore.
Oh, I go in them all the time. There's two up here, so. But yeah, they look like those, and
awesome.
I'm sure they're not, but I really like the sculpting, and they look cool. And that's
piece. First off, yeah, so these are basically there's a pre-order bonuses. I think it's for all retailers where you can get the two legendary Pokemons from Gold and Silver, Ho-Oh and Lugia.
It's not just GameStop?
No, I think it's all over.
Woo!
I know there's a Nintendo press release. But GameStop is having something weird that I actually got an email about, and you get a Pikachu-colored Pichu.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Kind of bewildered by that. I guess it's just Pichu that looks like a Pikachu.
Yeah.
And using this Pikachu-colored Pichu, you can then get, like, a rare Pichu in the game if you bring that Pichu to this Pichu location and then Pichu the Pichu.
Say Pichu again.
Pichu. It's like the meow scene from Super Troopers.
Pichu sucked in Super Smash Bros. Melee.
I was pretty good with Pikachu in that game, so sometimes I would just screw with people and be Pichu, because it's kind of like Pikachu, but crappy.
He hurts himself.
Exactly. And that's why he's not in Brawl. Also, we have the Clancy Controller Pros coming to North America. It'll
so
come
excited.
With,
yep.
Monster Hunter Tri, which is set for sometime in April, and I guess, I don't know if there's a set release date for when the Pro is going to come out. But it comes in black or white. It's going to be $20 by itself, or you can get it in a $60 bundle with Monster Hunter Tri. So I know I technically imported a Pro. There was an import place at a video game expo that I was at, and I ended up buying it there for $30. I got a white one. It's fantastic. When this comes out, if you like using a class controller or a GameCube controller,
yep.
just buy this. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
I want.
And now I'll have an excuse to play two-player virtual console games that use the virtual or the classic controller.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
Like Donkey Kong games.
Heyo. Also, we got Rondo of Blood, the popular Castlevania game that's always sought after. It was rated by the ESRB, and supposedly it will be coming to North America, although I remember
Earthbound was rated too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember hearing somewhere recently that if this does come out, it probably will be an import title, so it won't have any.
Really?
It'll be all in Japanese.
Seems like they could just port, I mean, maybe they can't do this, but seems like they could port the version that's in Castlevania Chronicles
for PSP. Well, they're probably using the TurboGrafx-16 version.
Oh.
Yeah, the Turbo City, right? Wasn't it Turbo City?
Yeah, Turbo City.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never played this. I'd like to give it a try.
It's hard as nails. If you like old school Castlevania, it's really, really phenomenal, but it's so hard.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is the PC Engine, the Turbo City game only came out in Japan, so if it did come out, it would be an import.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a beautiful game, and what's interesting to me about Rondo of Blood is, you know how everyone cites Symphony of Night as kind of the place where all the present Castlevania game fan service comes from?
Yes.
This is actually
It's actually from Rondo of Blood. A lot of enemy sprites, character models, backgrounds are from Rondo of Blood in Symphony of Night. So Symphony references Rondo of Blood constantly.
Yeah, because isn't Symphony of the Night that scene from the beginning that's from Rondo of Blood?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
It's the very end of Rondo of Blood.
And our next quickie is the Wii Greatest Hits line in Japan got announced. It's going to launch, it's going to kick off, I believe, at the end of February. Or sometime, yeah, February 25th, the game's going to be about $30 when the translation occurs. And it's going to start off with 428 from Sega, Muramasa of the Demon Blade, Arkrise Fantasia, Wii Ski and Snowboard, One Piece Unlimited Cruise Episode 1, Tales of Symphonia, Dawn of the New World, and Dragon Ball Z Sparking! Meteor. It's going to start off with those games. I don't know if we're going to see this. It's called Everyone's Recommendation Selection. I don't know if we'll be seeing this come to North America, but it's still interesting that they're doing this.
But this is based off of recommendations on the Nintendo channel, isn't it?
Yes, it's based off of recommendations on the Nintendo channel. And they've been ranked into three different categories, gold, silver, and bronze. And there's a whole list of titles. We actually have a news story up on the site that lists all of them. And, I mean, it's a good way to come up with these greatest hits games instead of sales, because that feels kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hopefully they'll do something like this in North America, too. I mean, and everywhere. I think it's a very good way to determine greatest hits titles.
Yeah, I think it's unique. It's something that I haven't seen before. I'm cool with it.
Bring it on.
Bring it on to North America.
And it's the only way I'll buy Muramasa.
Yeah.
It's Muramasa.
Muramasa, whatever.
But
we can be assured, though. We can be assured that if it was based on quantity sold, Spyborgs would not be coming to this line.
No, it would not.
But our final quickie is Wii Speak is going to be bundled with Endless Ocean 2. So Nintendo does know that they still have a peripheral.
What's Wii Speak?
My theory is they came across a box of them in a warehouse somewhere, and they were like, huh.
Well, Animal Crossing
what are these?
I thought we burned all of these. Quick, attach it to Endless Ocean 2.
Yeah, I think this will be the last thing we will see Wii Speak bundled with, which is kind of unfortunate, although, I mean, I feel like Wii Speak can only really work in games like Endless Ocean 2 or Animal Crossing. If it's like a conduit, it won't work.
Yeah.
Because that did not really work. That was just mayhem and crap.
Didn't the whole game not work online?
Yeah, kind of. I think some people had fun with it, but that was not me, because every time I tried it, it didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know, Andy, you got that game recently. Did you actually try it online?
What, Conduit?
Yeah.
Yes, but I did not play it with Wii Speak. I don't have Wii Speak.
Okay, well, I mean, did the game run?
Yeah, I mean...
I had so many problems with it online.
There were some delays in actually getting matched up after the first couple of times that I tried. But, you know, once I was matched up, it played fine without any lag. I think it was a pretty positive online experience. Once I was in the game, I really couldn't tell that I wasn't playing on 360 or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, I saw a Wii Speak by itself that was open, you know, opened and then returned at Best Buy, so they try and sell it cheap. And yeah. It was like $15. And I looked at it, and I was like, I'll never use this.
Well, I think I got some deal. I think it was Animal Crossing with Wii Speak for like $20. I got that around when the conduit came out, and, I mean, well, I have it.
Neil, you and I listened to the Player One podcast, correct?
Yes.
When I got Animal Crossing a year ago for Christmas, which I didn't hold on to for more than a couple of months, but I got into it again for about a month. I went onto the Player One podcast forums, onto their thread, and put my information down there and kind of forgot about it. And over the next week or so that I was kind of into the game, I would occasionally have people stop by my village, which is really, you know, kind of neat. It works out pretty well. But then, like, one time, the only time anyone came in my village with We Speak on, so I actually could hear what they were saying, was Phil Theobald from the Player One podcast. So
that's
awesome. I was actually upstairs cooking dinner. My Wii is downstairs. My wife was sitting in the TV with the room with the TV running Animal Crossing, but I was upstairs cooking dinner and I heard voices coming from the basement and I was like, "What's that?" So I ran downstairs and sure enough, the Player One podcast was happening live on my television and it was great.
That's awesome.
So I pulled up my USB keyboard and said hello to Phil Theobald. That's my only.
Wait, so they were actually recording the.
No, it wasn't. Okay. It was just Phil. But
that's really awesome. I really like. That's one of my favorite podcasts. I think they're a really fun show. And,
they really are.
And if I were to recommend two podcasts to people, I would be RFN and Player One Podcast. Those are pretty much the two that I don't miss week in.
I need
week
to listen to some of these because I listen to the NWR podcast and nothing else because I don't know what I just figured out what a podcast is a year ago.
Yeah.
Well, I listened to a few others, but for the most part, none of them, aside from Player One Podcast, are particularly friendly to the Wii gamer.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, really my problem. I listened to the 1UP Podcast more because, well, I used to like it a lot. Like, 1UP Yours is still, I mean, that's the father of video game podcasts.
Yeah.
Let me go on this little tangent here. And then, you know, with Listen Up, it kind of retained that still. And now with 4 Guys 1UP, I guess the thing that I like the most about 4 Guys 1UP is that they have... They generally have like someone new every week. Like it'll be like someone from a game developer or game publisher or whatever, or just
That's
like
cool.
another journalist. And it's cool because they have like a rotating guest. They had Tim Schafer was on the debut episode and stuff like that.
Nice.
And I mean that's keeping me around. And Retronauts is also fantastic. That's a 1UP's retro themed podcast and a Player One podcast.
To Retronauts occasionally. I listened to 1UP Yours back. I don't know, a couple years ago. I kind of grew weary on 1UP Yours because they would talk extensively about games that I didn't really care about. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
They would get off onto like a two-hour discussion on Halo 3 because I think that was when I was listening to it was like right around the time Halo 3 came out. And I just don't care about Halo 3.
I also like to state that I think Player One Podcast is the only podcast that actually talks about DSiWare and doesn't shit all over it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I really like these games. I'm like, oh, I do too. Let's hang out, guys.
They talked about Dark Void Zero for about 5-10 minutes on the most recent episode.
I want to get that game so bad.
Dude, Dark Void Zero is very, very good.
I haven't gotten
too much into it, but really DSiWare is like a treasure trove for me right now. So all the naysayers, you know, fuck them. Fuck the naysayers because they don't mean a thing.
All right, let's...
Anyway, speaking of DSiWare...
Let's truck on through this.
yeah, let's go to, I guess, the better of the two. We'll start off with DSiWare because there were actual games that I'm interested in. Starship Defense came out two Mondays ago, and that's another Q Games title in DSiWare, which brings their count up to 3. And I've downloaded this one back when it came out. I've basically been playing it sporadically. I finally got through the tutorial, not really because it was difficult, but just because I had to put time into it, and I never could put time into it. And... It's basically a tower defense game that's space themed. It's really, really cool though.
It has a cool
art aesthetic. It's basically art style tower defense.
Therefore, you like it.
Yeah, I mean it's an art style game, therefore I like it. Well actually no, there are a couple art style games I don't like Zengage I didn't get into. But Starship Defense, I mean, there's like I think something like 30 levels in it. And they're replayable, you know, you can get high scores, you might be able to get some sort of medal. It's a pretty sharp tower defense game, and it's only $5.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then also on DSiWare we got Dark Void Zero, which we were just talking about.
Now this game interests me because I wrote up the weekly download write-up when this game launched, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago? And I don't think I realized when I wrote it up that they were lying to me in the press release. The press release says that it's a long-lost NES title that kind of fell through the cracks, like between the migration between the NES and the Super NES. But that's not true at all. It's a completely brand new title. It's like a retro game challenge thing.
Completely bullshit. They tied in Jimmy Fallon to it.
Yeah, I had no freaking idea.
I still haven't seen the clip. I've been meaning to, but apparently it was mentioned on a show.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, bravo to Capcom because, I mean, it's a really cool game, too. I mean, there's only three levels, but the levels are kind of big. I know John Lindemann played it on RFN and he compared it to Metroid, which is definitely an accurate comparison. But it's very much, it's like Bionic Commando-ish. It's definitely a really well-modeled retro Capcom game. And it's another part of the reason why I have a big crush on Capcom, for the most part. Because there are definitely aspects that I don't really care for, but Dark Void Zero is really good, and Zach, you should get it. It's only $5.
This is the first game that if I had a DSi, I definitely would pick up. I know for a fact I would pick it up.
And also, that same week, we got Chronos Twins, which is not the DX version that's on WiiWare, which came out the week before. And it's the same kind of thing. If you listen to us then this is pretty much just going through the motions, where you have two different characters, and one's in the present, one's in the past, or one's in the present, one's in the future, whichever doesn't really make a difference. It's all on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But, it's a pretty cool platformer compared to Mega Man. I know, Johnny Metz talked about it on RFN. I think we talked about wanting to get it. I know I haven't gotten it yet. And from what I've heard is actually the DSiWare version of this is better than the WiiWare version. Because on the WiiWare version, you know, you just have the screen cut in half. Where in the DS version, it's on one on each screen.
And makes a lot more
also
sense.
Going the DSiWare, the DSiWare versions, going in their direction is that it's only $5, whereas the WiiWare one is $10. So
yeah.
I've been tempted to get that. If that didn't come out in the same week as Starship Defense and Dark Void Zero, I probably would have gotten Chronos Twins then. I'll probably get it in the future.
Yeah.
And running down the list of other DSiWare games, we got Me and My Dogs, Friends Forever.
Woo!
Which is,
yay!
Game Loft.
Finally.
It's a pet simulator. That's all I have to say about that. And we got Number Battle from Nintendo, which... It's another interesting board game. I forget who it's by. I know I looked it up. It's a Japanese board game that pits you in a battle to play number tiles on a board in an attempt to reach a target score. There's a story mode. There's multiplayer mode. This is actually another one that I was thinking of getting. It's like a strategic puzzle board game. And supposedly it's very good from what I've heard, at least what the buzz is. And we got iRace Tunnel, which is apparently, you know, you're racing in a tunnel. And Escapee Go, which is it's a $2 game. And
so it's a cell phone game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It starts a character named Claire who lost her identity, and you have to, you know, she can detect enemies before they enter her visual range, and you have to help her escape.
All right.
Which I think probably sounds cooler than this game actually is.
I read that, and it actually seemed interesting.
If you look up any like actual art assets from the game, I think you'll find it looks less interesting.
And that's it for DSiWare. So let's move on to WiiWare, where it's been kind of a barren wasteland after some really good weeks. We got Muscle March, which is, you know, kind of, I guess, the spiritual follow-up to Choiniki. You know, you're posing as a muscle man or polar bear to catch thieves who've stolen almighty protein power.
But where is the man beam?
It's $5. I've heard it's awful.
How could it be awful?
I have no idea.
I think you know very well, Zach, how this could be awful.
It's surviving on Kitch alone.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Although I should get it so that I have some ideas for Dicto Chat.
I will leave this game to the Lindemans of the world.
Yes.
This is definitely, it's like John Lindemann the game. March.
It's what he looks like, too.
Especially the polar bear.
I mean, it's John Lindemann and a polar bear. and they're fighting to save the day. This will be the test to see if he listens to newscasts.
The game is basically his biography.
Yeah. I'm going to get an email from them that's basically going to be like, fuck you. Be like, you're fired. Don't come back.
I'm never listening to this podcast again.
The first time I listened to it, this is what happens. Anyway, the second game on WiiWare is the amazing Brain Train from Wahoo Studios.
Yeah.
There's a character named Professor Fizzwizzle, and it tests you on various puzzles. And it's there's a train, and it's fueled by you as you answer the questions correctly. And it's $6 from the Wii Shop channel, and you can download it today.
Sounds like Professor Layton, sort of. Maybe?
I can't in good faith recommend that you do that.
Layton, that's what it sounds like.
I cannot in good faith recommend that you get this game.
If it was between this and Muscle March, Andy, what would it be?
I think it'd be Muscle March.
I would sell my Wii.
I would laugh. I would abstain from playing video games for the rest of my life.
You'd play Bayonetta.
Also on Wii, where we have Uno, which, I mean, I guess it's a
didn't
little
Uno game
party,
come out recently and we talked about it on this podcast?
Uno came out on DSiWare. I don't think there was any online play.
Oh, okay. There's no WiiWare one. Now there is.
It's been out on every other gaming platform for what feels like years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got single-player, local multiplayer, and online multiplayer, which is it's pretty cool. If you want Uno, I mean, and you only have a Wii, then go get it on WiiWare for $10.
There you go.
Game Loft, which they make a lot of cell phone games, so that's probably where this comes from.
And, it's graphically intensive.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. And the second WiiWare game this week is from Machine and developer Unconditional Studios, and it's Bitos Plus.
This game looks kind of interesting, to be honest. I was looking at some YouTube footage of this, and I think I may actually pick this up, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's $8, and it looks like you use standard Tetris blocks and a free-floating grid to make different patterns. You've looked at it more, Andy. I feel like this is the kind of thing that I would have had to see a video of to understand. So what exactly do you do in it from what you can gather?
I didn't look at that much video, but from what I could tell, yeah, there was like – it looked kind of like if Picross and Tetris had a baby. Because, I think you had,
I'm kind of sold.
You had a grid, and some of the grids had blocks in them, and some of them didn't. Like, it was like a shape,
okay.
A mass. And you had to kind of add Tetris. And all the blocks that I saw in the video that I watched were all Tetris blocks. I'm not sure if it's all like that or if that was just one level, but the video that I saw had the player adding Tetris blocks to this mass in the grid, and occasionally some would disappear, although I wasn't really clear on why they were disappearing or what the goal of the game was. So I'm not that much information, but it does look like it's kind of like taking the idea of like a shape in a grid and changing it somehow to achieve a different shape in a grid using Tetris blocks.
It sort of sounds like the kind of games I have in physical form where you have like seven different sized triangles in a square, and you try and manipulate them in such a way that they form the shape on a card that you have in front of you.
That was sort of my impression. Yeah, kind of like what you're getting at. I think so, but I'm probably gonna buy this, and if I do, I will come back next week and talk about it for a little bit.
Awesome.
Nice.
Or 2 weeks, whatever we record again.
Next time.
The final, you know, awesome WiiWare game is Aha! I Found It. Hidden object game.
Yes.
Which is kind of a
millionaire game.
An escape
it's an
game.
I Spy.
Yeah.
Apparently there's going to be an Aha! I Found It or whatever series, because this is the second one that's been called that.
How many times can you find it?
Aha! It's Aha! I Something It, because the first one was
Aha! I Got It Escape Game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of a funny title. It's $5, so if you're into, you know, hidden object games, then it's kind of your deal. So,
I think I'm fundamentally opposed to buying a game that ends in the word game.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't really seem like
that's sort of a bad sign.
Like if it's like the movie, the game.
Yeah.
And Virtual Console, I guess, you know, we're kind of getting back. It seemed like the holiday season was a little, boisterous with what came out. We had tons of WiiWare games, tons of DSiWare games, tons of Virtual Console games. Looks like it has officially calmed down. We had Sega's Shadow Dancer, The Secret of Shinobi, which is the first sequel to the original Shinobi game. It came out in 1991. It plays similar to the previous one, but you can use
a dog
this time.
Finally.
And it's 8 bucks.
They have a special category on the Virtual Console Shop channel that's Ninja Games.
So the last Virtual Console of the week, or I guess of the two-week period, is Ghoul Patrol, which is the sequel to Zombies and My Neighbors, which I've never actually played. Have either of you guys played this? I know I just played Zombies and My Neighbors for the first time like a month ago.
I wasn't even aware there was a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know there was either. And I've heard pretty good things about it. I don't know how it stacks up to the original. I mean, the original is a wildly heralded classic, and I definitely share those sentiments after playing it. But this time it looks like there's only 5 areas that you're going around instead of like the 50 levels or so that are in the original.
Boo.
The description makes it sound pretty similar, but having never played either of them, I really can't speak to if it's true or not. The premise sounded the same.
Yeah. Well, that's it for the week with that. Let's talk about the new releases. We pretty much covered Tatsunoko vs. Capcom Ultimate All-Stars, which came out this Tuesday on Wii. Glory of Heracles came out on DS last week. I've heard, at least from review scores, it's kind of middle of the road. It's a pretty, middling RPG with some touchscreen elements. I think the biggest different thing about it is that you choose all of your characters' attacks all at once, and then they all attack, and it goes through a turn.
Oh.
Huh.
Other than that, I really have no interest in this game.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Nope. Although the next game is coming out, I do have some interest
in. No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle from Ubisoft and Grasshopper Manufacturer. That came out this week. We should be getting a review copy soon. Pedro Hernandez is on the review, so listen, wait for his thoughts on that. I imagine they'll be coming in the next week or so, depending on whenever we get the review copy.
I really enjoyed the first one. It has a crazy ending. Did you ever finish that, Neil? You were pretty close to the end,
actually,
weren't you?
I was just going to say, because I pretty much am finishing up playing Tatsunoko vs. Capcom for review, and I actually started playing this. I'm on the 5th ranking battle, so
who was I talking to that was like right at the very end? I was talking to someone. I can't remember who it was.
I thought I was closer than I was. I believe I was on. I thought I was on the 4th one, but I'm actually on the 5th one.
Because I got
it used a while back for pretty cheap, and then I ended up having a lot of fun with it, and then it was right around finals, so I got about halfway through it and then stopped. But I'm definitely I'm planning on picking it up and finishing it, so that way I can maybe get the second one sometime soon.
One of the things I read about the new one is that it takes itself a little more seriously than the first one, which I think is an interesting choice because the first one was kind of fun because it didn't take itself very seriously.
I mean, I think it's just like sometimes where it's like it's you can't tell if it's making fun of itself or if it's being serious, and I think it might play with the humor of the game. I also like that they took out the overworld because from going back to this one, oh my god, the overworld sucks. I wish I could just go directly to the mission.
It's absolutely
but
awful.
When I dive back into that, which I might actually do after this, depending on how awake I am, I'm right in front of the 5th boss, which I'm excited because I like that game.
I'm looking forward to talking to you about this game when it's finished because I haven't thought about that game in a while, but I have a lot of thoughts about that game because that game is so unique. There's so many weird things about that game. There's like the ending.
I love the Captain Falcon boss. That was one of my favorite things that I remember.
I don't even remember what that is.
It's basically just the dude who has, like, the pelvic blast.
Okay. Okay.
I am all about this game.
Have you gotten to the one, I don't want to say it because I can't, I'll spoil you if you haven't gotten there, and I would hate to do that. There's one fight that turns out to be a little less eventful than you think it's going to be going into it, that I really got a kick out of. But I'm guessing you don't know what I'm talking about, so I'll talk to you about it after you finish the game a little bit more.
All right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out No More Heroes 2, because I really enjoyed the first one, and I failed to understand how they could possibly have a sequel after the absurd brilliance that was the ending of the first
one. Yeah, I've heard about the ending, but I feel like I would only understand it if I watch it, because like I was talking to someone about it, and they're like, oh, this is what happens. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that you're going to get a better feeling for the ending than what you just said, to be honest. But once you experience it, the what becomes more of a bemused what instead of a confused what. You suddenly you're just like, oh, okay.
I might be I might be working through that game, so probably by next episode I will have finished it.
Awesome. We will chat about it then.
All right, excellent. And that just about does it for the show. I hope you liked it a lot.
I did.
Please, if you did like it, review us on iTunes.
We got three reviews last time after we three since I've checked. There may even be more by now, but apparently asking for reviews to work. So awesome. Thank you to those of you who reviewed us. That was great.
Yeah, and the one thing that you could do if you don't feel like reviewing us, or you already have, or you want to review us and do something else for us, is tell all your friends about the show. You know, remind them that there's not just one, not just two, but three podcasts that are linked to Nintendo World Report, which I think it might be the most on any kind of, like, you know, independent enthusiast site, and that's pretty cool.
It's because we all have so much free time.
What? what? Free time? I don't know what that is anymore. Anyway.
Me neither.
If you have any suggestions for the show, if there's anything you want to see, we're pretty open to the format. We're still kind of feeling our way through, you know, what we want to be doing on this show. So if you have any ideas for, you know, segments you'd like to see or ways you'd like to see the show improve or
and I figure I will throw this one out. I believe I made some kind of comment about having a fourth chair, and someone in the forums kind of was like, "Nah, I like you guys the way they are," and you know, I'll take that. You know, we can stick with the trio. I think it's a pretty solid trio, but also. I was kicking around this idea, I guess I've been kind of harping on it for like 2 or 3 weeks at this point, of having a newscast game club in which we play like a WiiWare game together and we get, you know, interaction with the forums. So you people listening, if you think this is a cool idea and you would like to participate on it, you know, just tell us, because we were actually considering doing it for this week, but nothing good came out on WiiWare, and we all don't
have ESIs.
I think
we were considering the Muscle March, but then everyone was giving it poor views, and we said maybe not so much.
Yeah, and we were thinking Phoenix Wright, but I don't think that would be as interesting.
How about Dark Void Zero?
I don't have a DSi.
Oh, that's right.
The one game that I'm thinking this will work really well for is Cave Story, which
now
that it's been reviewed by Nintendo Power, which officially has been, it's got to be imminent. I would be surprised if it's not out. If it's not out by the time we do another episode, I would be pretty surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's day one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll probably be, who knows, maybe by this time in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about Cave Story in some kind of game club capacity. And I also imagine we'll probably do something with Mega Man 10, because we all, I know Zach and I are really jazzed for Mega Man 10. I don't know, are you excited for it, Andy?
I never finished Mega Man 9, and being as that I haven't finished Mega Man 9, I find it hard to get super excited about more of what I haven't finished. But
I admit that parts of Mega Man 9 are really hard.
Yeah,
I do intend to finish Mega Man 9. I love old school Mega Man. I wish they would put out the rest of them on Virtual Console, because I played the Mega Man 2
twice
now.
I'm hoping they'll put out 4 around Mega Man 10.
Yeah, 4 is really good. I don't know why they stopped putting them out.
Probably
I wish they would put out more of the Mega Man X games on Super NES, because those are pretty great, too.
Yeah, I'm buying up the collection. Although I'd much rather play that game with a Classic Controller Pro than a GameCube controller.
Yeah.
But anyway, that wraps us up for this week, or this bi-week, or whatever you want to call it. I'm Neil Ronahan, and this is Zach Miller and Andy Gergen, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time, everybody.
Till later, then, y'all.
Or you'll hear from us,
sayonara.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
What up? Peace out.
Peace.
Bye.